I'm so thankful for your advice. I love how intelligent and eloquent you are and still have love.
You've given me some great guidance and direction, and now it's up to me to execute it.
I feel a lot better just working through it. I thank you so, so much.
I feel like you already are instilling more confidence in me that this is possible.
Sick of sacrificing or settling in your romantic life? Welcome to Make Him Wonder with Coach Paula Grooms, where women struggling in real relationships ask the expert. Unscripted, unfiltered, understandable coaching conversations to help passionate women succeed in love.
Hi there, and welcome to Make Him Wonder. I'm your host, Coach Paula, a dating and relationship coach for women, licensed social worker, and author of the book, Why Won't He Commit? How a Man Decides to Make You the One. I coach you to find a potential Mr. Right, get an ex back, or grow an existing relationship with a man you truly desire, and learn how to inspire his continued interest for the relationship of your dreams so that you level up to the complete commitment you totally deserve. My guest today is 46-year-old Blake, who has been in an on-off relationship with 60-year-old Carlos for about 2.5 years. Blake comes back on today after we had a snafu a few days ago due to a technical glitch, and I'm very appreciative of that. Carlos has been separated for the last 10 years. 2 months into their relationship, after Blake walked away telling Carlos that she could not date a married man, whether separated or not, Carlos told her he was going to take action on a divorce and began pursuing her again. Given that the divorce was in process, Blake decided to go along, especially since Carlos was starting to build a home for the two of them. But according to Blake, Carlos did not make his commitment clear, and when she pressed him on it, he eventually broke things off, wanting to remain friends. This was nearly a year ago, and the two have stayed in touch as friends, walking together several days a week. But Blake reports that a cycle has developed where Carlos starts subtly pursuing her again, asking her to meet for dinner or brunch, and calling daily to check in while traveling, etc. However, Carlos eventually pulls back until Blake reaches out again and the cycle continues. About 10 days ago, Carlos pulled back yet again, but Blake did not reach out to him. She and I spoke a few days ago on a podcast for the first time, and there was a technical glitch causing us to have to scrap the entire episode, and she graciously comes back on today to update me on what has happened since we spoke last, and I think it will be a very informative episode for anyone in an on-again, off-again relationship like hers with Carlos, and I want to help her get all that she wants in this relationship, and you too. So let me welcome Blake back, and thank you, Blake, for doing this again.
You're welcome.
So tell me, in the past few days since we last talked, how you felt about it and what you've either done, your thinking, your feeling, etc.
Yeah, I feel really good. I feel a lot of peace. Our talk was very helpful. And one of the things that you said, you felt like he was trying to just give enough value to keep me, I don't know exactly how you said it, but maybe to keep me, you know, interested or keep me in touch with him. And I kind of resisted it when you said it, because I felt like maybe you were saying he didn't actually like being with me or something like that. And I was like, no, I really feel like he does. But looking back over our relationship, and you see, because in the beginning, the on again, off again was always me pulling away. And he would draw me back in by offering something, but it was not what I wanted. It was something else, but it would never be, well, that's not true. One time it was when he said he was going to get the divorce. That was obviously something I did want, but he didn't actually, you know, complete it. But he would always kind of draw me back in with some kind of offer. And I found that interesting to review and think about. And now in the past, I guess, 7-8 months, it's happened that he's been the one that has more kind of pulled away. So that's interesting.
It's typical, especially with a man who has shown you his lack of decisiveness in relationships. What I mean by that is a separation that has lasted 10 years. Then he meets you. Clearly, he has a lot of interest in you as the wonderful woman you are. All the value that you have provided him, we talked a bit about that the other day, everything that you were giving to him, he absolutely values it. And it's interesting. I'm glad that you rethought what I was saying, maybe bristled in the moment, thinking I was saying that he didn't care for you or love you on some level. He does. There's no question. He's getting a lot from the relationship. He always has. And he doesn't want to lose that. It's why when he needed to, for his own sake, or felt you pulling back energetically, he would come towards you with the offers of dinner or brunch and step it up a bit, because he didn't want to lose all that he was getting vis-a-vis the attention and friendship. But of course, that's absolutely not enough for you.
Exactly.
So, what else did you get from our talk?
So, there was an update since the introduction, which we did talk about last time, which was that he did reach out to me a couple of days after I filled out the form for your podcast. And when he did, it was, you know, he called and texted several times, and I didn't answer. And in actually, that is very unique. Even though there were times in the past that I pulled away, it was always, you know, we would stay friends. It was always like, okay, I'm not going to date you, but we can still be friends. And I think that's one thing that I've gotten is just how much that kept the relationship from progressing. Because just like you said, it, and us being friends, I mean, it would include not having a sexual relationship as well as some other things, you know, that we wouldn't spend as much time together and so on during those times. But still, we would meet several times a week. To take a walk or work out together. And so he was getting a lot of value from me, even though, you know, I said I wanted to not date him. And this is the first time ever that I have just completely not taken or returned a text or phone call from him.
Yay. This is real progress. And I hope every woman who is in a situation like yours hears what you said, which I talk about all the time. It must be absolutely black and white, on or off, stop or go, yes or no. If you in the situation have any feelings of ever wanting to get back with a man, you must make it an absolute no contact situation.
And that's so funny because it's the complete opposite. Like, you know, I don't know if this is me or if it's a female thing, but I mean, I was definitely conditioned with this idea that you don't abandon people you care about. And it felt a little bit like abandoning to not answer him. And so I think that's why I do care about him a lot. And that's probably why I never did it before. And even though it felt a little bit like abandoning him, it felt so good for me. Like I felt helping me to see myself in a really different way. Like I'm seeing actually the power that I do have, not only in this relationship, but it's affecting like a lot of my other relationships. And I was already kind of moving in that direction. I've seen a lot of change in my female friendships really over the last year, where there were people that maybe were kind of draining me more than needed to be. And I didn't do anything to remove them from my life. But as I sort of started to step into my own boundaries more, they removed themselves. And I think that this process has been very healing for me. And this act of not communicating with him has changed something very, very fundamental. And I'm continuing to listen to subliminals at night. And the one that I'm, or not the affirmations, actually, the one that I'm listening to is all about, you know, having good boundaries and not accepting something that's confusing, you know, something from someone who isn't very clear and sure about what they want.
Wonderful. Yes, there's so much what you said in there about how we can be raised as women to please others at our own expense, for sure. And unfortunately, it just will never work to continue to show a man that you are willing to give to him when you are not getting the relationship you desire. I put this under my premise of being a worthy opponent, because that's what a man most desires. While he will take all the goodness you are willing to give, it will not get you the relationship you desire and deserve. And I look at it in an overarching way of both people, because men have told me, and I believe it to be true for most all, that they are looking for the woman who makes them the most they can be. And this is the essence of worthy opponent, that if he's not feeling like he has to step up, do right, be more, he's not inspired. When we couch this under the lens of sports, we get it. We understand the male mind in that the goal, the achievement, the competition, the challenge, and the conquering are what inspires him and keeps him, quote unquote, in the game. It's the same in any endeavor in a man's life, whether that's his vocation, advocation, his personal life. And the problem for men now, especially because they have women online, and then it's morphed into our society that women are kind of disposable, in a sense, that they're ubiquitous and you can go through them because within 3 dates they will have sex with you, and it actually leaves men empty and hollow, and they are looking for that one that will inspire them to be the best they can be. So when we give the friendship without getting in return, they're not inspired, and you will just get more friendship. Carlos was confusing to you because he occasionally did things that made you feel like, oh, he's turned a corner. He might want something with me again by asking me to dinner or brunch. I don't know what was going on for him in terms of whether this was by design or whether his feelings got tweaked due to something else in his life and he felt maybe he needed to try. In other words, we don't know what's going on with him otherwise, but I dare say there's a lot underneath here that we don't know because of this 10-year separation. Do you know anything about that in terms of whether it's about children, the estate? What was it about?
That's a good question. So the children are all grown up. The youngest is like, you know, mid-20s, you know, saying he was going through the divorce. At first he said he was concerned that his wife would somehow keep him from being in touch with the grandchildren. There are no grandchildren yet, but he said at one point that he was afraid of that. And then he said later, no, she wouldn't do that. I believe there are financial concerns in the sense that they, you know, they still own a home together, which is several million dollars. So that's a very large asset. And I think she wants to, I know she wants to stay in the home. So how do you split that, right? She'd have to buy him out or something, right? So health insurance, you know, he's on her health insurance. He's retired and she's working. So, you know, as you get older, that becomes more of a concern. Those are the things that he mentioned. I also, though, really, really appreciate your analogy of men do not leave their team, because he's very much a sportsman. He's a former athlete and, you know, still very athletic. He has a team that he's very, very loyal to, a sports team. And I think that comes into play also, this idea of, like, even though he's been, in a sense, kicked off the team, you know, he was told to leave, but there's still that connection, and letting go of that last connection may be something that is blocking. So I think all those things come into play. There may be more that I don't know about, but that is what I do know.
In talking to you previously and getting more about him and how he has kept this going. First, I want to ask you, all through this time you've been friends with him, do you believe that he knew, whether it was said or not stated, that you wanted more?
Yes, I actually, so that began a year ago, it's been a full year almost, and we had about a month where we weren't in contact. And ever since that, I did make it really clear that I wanted more.
Okay.
I would say, though, in the past few months, maybe less, but it's for, you know, a space of about 3 to 5 months, I did make it clear that I wanted more.
Okay. So that tells me, along with everything else you just told me about him regarding his ex, that this guy is very self-serving.
Hmm.
So I want you to see it from my perspective, if you can, for a moment. So he was married how long?
Maybe like 25 years before the separation.
I believe you told me there were affairs on his part.
Yes.
Okay. So there are affairs. He does wrong. She wants him out, but somehow he wrangles it so that he and she stay legally married for him to be on her insurance.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't have to lose out potentially money on any kind of settlement, divorce, etc.
Yes, but also he was still paying the mortgage. I don't know how they were splitting that, but they were together paying the mortgage on that. So it's not like he wasn't contributing anything.
Okay, that's good to know. Great. But there's something very interesting about both of them not moving on in terms of a settlement, more so on her part.
Mm. Yeah, who knows? I don't know her, but I do know she's the president of a major U.S. company, very high professional position. And, you know, when you're in a position like that, I feel like making divorce and making that public is kind of something people tend to avoid.
I see.
I don't know if that, but I'm guessing that could be part of it. I noticed that, you know, she has her professional bio online and it just doesn't mention anything about a husband. It doesn't say she's married, doesn't say she, you know, it mentions she has children, doesn't mention anything about a husband. It's kind of like, and she doesn't wear a wedding ring in public, but she doesn't, there's like a friend group that they've known, you know, since they went to college together. And I don't think he's much in touch with that group. I know that she is kind of like keeping this quiet that this has happened because it can be embarrassing and so on to admit these kind of things. So I wonder if that plays a part.
It could, for sure.
And they're also from an ethnic group that I am not from, but it's one that very highly values family and people staying together. So there's cultural aspects to that.
I see. But she's not wearing the ring and there's not a facade of him going to events with her, or is there?
No, he's not. He has not gone to events with her at all since I've met him. I don't know what was happening before.
Okay, so over the 10 years, there have likely been other women, and
oh yeah,
he has not been able to do right by them. It's very convenient that he has this situation so that he doesn't have to fully commit to someone else.
Yes. And I asked him about that. I said, I knew that he dated other people. And I said, didn't this ever come up with anyone else? And he said, no. And he said a couple things that were interesting. One thing he said that before he met me, the person that he dated, they were also in a similar situation that he was. Also a separation that had gone on for many, many years. So, you know, that was convenient. I feel like the relationships he had were all short-lived, you know, 6 months, a year. That one, he's like 2 years, so that seems like probably a little longer. And I don't think he ever intended for any of them to become serious. And again, like your description of the puppy principle explains that so well. I do think that what happened with me was he did start to see that this me and our relationship is something he could see maybe going the distance just because of the way that he talked about it and the commitments that he did make. So in terms of building a house and saying he wanted me to live with him, and it was confusing because after he broke up with me, which was about a year ago, we remained friends and we were talking together. And he asked me one time, he said, do you have any debt? And I had, you know, student loan debts and some other things. And he said, well, how much is it? And I told him, and he gave me the money and paid it off. And this is a significant amount of money, almost $30,000. So it's like he's giving value, and he in the past was giving what he said to me, this when he wanted to build the house and have us look together, this is how I'm showing my commitment to you. I can't make a greater commitment until, you know, as long as I'm still married, is how he put it. But, you know, that, and then another time when he came to talk to me and he was very serious, he said, I want to keep pursuing you. I'm sure of that. But he said, I'm not sure about marriage and I can't make a greater commitment as long as I'm still married. So was he manipulating me by saying these things? In some way, yes. I mean, he's offering some value, but he's not offering what I was asking for. And I kind of think of it in terms of like bargaining, you know, like when we were looking for property, he would generally, how people do that, you offer something a little less than what's being asked. So I wanted a full commitment and he doesn't feel ready for that. So he said, oh, well, what if I offer this instead? And I did accept it until it became really clear to me that I couldn't continue that way. So that gives a little more context, I guess, about what's happened between me and him.
It gives a lot more. And I'm glad you disclosed that, because it does make a difference. He was showing the commitment he could make to you by giving you that amazing gift of paying off your debt. But he, for whatever reasons the two of them have together as a family, the estate, the insurance, the perception, all of it, he and she have chosen not to go for the divorce. The building the house and even the mere mention of it indicates that he wanted more with you. And it's indicating to me that you can potentially have it if you fundamentally change your approach, which that's why you're here and you're doing it. You've started the ball rolling by not answering him for the first time ever.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Absolutely. And I've been seeing it very clearly. I took what he was giving me, you know, or I didn't take the action that showed. I said it wasn't enough, did say that, but I didn't take any action that showed it wasn't enough.
Right. That's my saying, that if you're staying, no matter what you are saying, you are okaying however he's playing.
Exactly. Yes, exactly. And it's so crystal clear to me now. And it's so interesting, because I was even thinking back, like there was someone I dated like 4 years ago, and I hadn't dated for a really long time. And when I met him, he said, I'm not looking for a relationship. Then he was like calling me every day. And I was like, oh, well, he seems like he's looking for a relationship. And I just didn't understand that. I didn't really get that, you know, men get a value out of just a woman talking to them and being present with them. I didn't understand that, honestly. And looking back at it now, I'm like, he thought I was happy to go along with it because I was. And in that case, I eventually just dropped all contact when I realized he really meant what he said when he said he didn't want a relationship. But yeah, it's like, it's so clear how men, what you say, just, it doesn't matter if you don't do actions that support what you say.
Right. It doesn't. And the action you do or don't take can have an enormous effect on you getting the man to a place of him being ready or wanting a relationship. It's not an absolute that it always works. And anyone who comes to me and works with me in my lure him back approach, I always say, I cannot guarantee you 100% that by doing this, it will work to the degree you want it to work. But I can guarantee you 100% that if you don't do this, you will not have what you want.
I see that so clearly now.
It's great.
Yes.
Great. And as we talked about a few days ago, that you've started the process in Lure Him Back by simply not answering him. And what you need to know as a woman who is a communicator, who is kind, you will give him the answer at some point, depending if he continues to pursue you in any way. In other words, right now, you showed him via action what you need and want. This is key. Men do not relate via verbalization. They relate via action. That's why if you're staying, no matter what you are saying, you are okaying however he's playing. So you haven't answered for these last few days. Has he reached out to you again?
He hasn't.
Okay, interesting. What do you make of that?
You know, I'm curious what you think of this, Paula, but I actually think he knows, because I had told him many times before my position and he didn't believe it because I didn't take action. But I think he knows that I'm not going to accept this anymore. And he knows. I also made it crystal clear to him through words what I would expect. So he knows what the standard is. So it's possible that he can meet the standard that I have told him I would accept. I kind of feel like he's maybe, you know, trying to figure out, can he do that?
Yes. Uh-huh. All of it. You related via action. You're finally speaking his language, which I call Mandarin. Yeah, action. And it's like a chess game, and you will see his next move. What has to happen through the process, and does happen, is that he actually starts to feel in a different way than he has felt heretofore. Meaning, men, to the degree that we allow it, will take the path of least resistance. And on that path, you don't really have to think much about anything or feel much of anything. It's why men tend to take it. And when you do what you're doing via action that aligns with your words and also aligns with what he knows, he already knows it. He knew you wanted what you want. He's very smart. He gets it completely. It didn't bother him that you were continuing to be friendly with him and go on the walks and do all you did. No, because that's the self-serving part. And it's different for men than it is for women. For example, if you were not interested in having a relationship with a man, that means you're not interested in him as your companion, you're not interested in him for sex. 99% of the time, as a woman, you will not be hanging out with him. You will not want a friendship if you know he's interested in you.
Yeah. No, I wouldn't.
It's very uncomfortable for women. We don't want that, but we don't understand that it's the puppy principle with the man. He does like it. He gets a lot from it, just like if we love puppies, we will go and be in a group of them or one-on-one with any. It has nothing to do with whether or not we're going to adopt it. Being around it for whatever licks and pets it's willing to allow us to have, we get something from it. It's exactly the same. They amuse themselves and self-soothe with women, just like we do with puppies, kittens, whatever it is. The difference is we're not hurting anyone by giving the pup attention and love in the moment. That pup is going to take it whether we're walking out in 2 minutes and never see them again or adopting them.
Yeah, and I think that a lot of women get into those situations and they do it without knowing, and the men don't realize that they're hurting them because the women do it very willingly.
Of course, yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely, they don't, because they're coming from their own vantage point. If you are interacting with them, then you are getting something from it. That's how they feel.
Yep.
And it doesn't matter what you're saying, you're staying. So that means it's okay with you. Action, not words. So you are at a very good place now to start this process, which you have moved the needle towards it. And now it begins. Now you're going to see change because you have changed. And we can go through what you can expect and what is next. And we will do that in a moment.
I trust you're enjoying Make Him Wonder.
and that you're getting a lot of helpful information for the life of love you desire and deserve. So if you're not part of the 80-20 Wonder Club yet, you need to be, because now Make Him Wonder is exclusive. A members-only club to listen to every episode, past, present, and future, in full, all ad-free. The 80-20 Wonder Club is a Make Him Wonder membership that gives you all of seasons 1, 2, and 3 in a categorized list by age and relationship status, and a multimedia library of my content, including my book, Relationship Evals, and my Mechanics of Men Mindset Manual, a weekly action step you can focus on to attract and keep the man of your dreams and have him committing to you completely in the coming months. Make this the moment you start living as an 80-20 Wonder Woman, because love, like life, is best lived in 80-20. When you do 80% of what works with men, the 20% you don't won't much matter. Join the 80-20 Wonder Club by going to the 8020wonder.club. Don't miss out. Go now to the 8020wonder.club. You and your man will be glad you did. So, Blake, I want to get into a bit of the weeds on this process of luring him back. You say that you're feeling really good now and different about the not answering him. It's giving you a strength and resolve, I'm hearing. Is that right?
Yes.
Wonderful. So it's working on you too. And that's a big part of the process. The change in us inspires the change in the man. Mm-hmm. He has love for you. You can grow it to the degree that he can give it and have it given his situation. In other words, we're going to look at the givens here. The fact that he and his wife have not gone forward with a divorce for 10 years, we could make an educated assumption here that it's unlikely that a divorce will occur. Would you agree with that?
Possibly. I'm really wondering what happened when he made that decision. I mean, he was, the way he said it and everything, it was like clear. And he talked to family. He talked to his brother. I don't know if he talked to his parents about it.
What decision?
He did tell the decision to divorce.
There was none. There was no decision.
You're saying that because he didn't do it.
There's a difference between desiring something and a decision on it. Decision is actually action.
Yes. Okay. Correct. Yeah. That could be. Mm-hmm. I mean, that could be that there is some factor that I don't know that it will never happen because of. Yes.
There's likely something regarding finances. And I'm not impugning them for lack of getting a divorce. That's totally up to them. If it works for them, and it seems to have, because if it wasn't working, they'd change it.
Right.
It's working. For 10 years, it's been working. And I have no doubt that it wasn't his decision. He is the poster child for my sports supposition in my book. He was having affairs. He was going and playing on another team, but wasn't going to leave the home team because it's not right to leave the home team. You're not a man if you leave the home team. But when the coach doesn't allow you to play as you want, you go and play on other teams as long as those other teams don't rat you out to the home team.
Yeah.
However, it's probably morphed into both of them knowing that they are having other relationships, and that's okay. It suits their purposes. So you can make an assumption that you can have something, and it might even be committed, but it will be not marriage.
What do you mean by that?
What do you think I mean?
I guess it would be a commitment, but not like a legal commitment.
It can't be.
Right, right. That's what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
So there would be a commitment, but the legal side of it would not exist.
It's semantics to a great degree. In other words, on the full right side of the scale, commitment is marriage. Then we have all the way to the left side of the scale, which is willy-nilly, whatever floats your boat goes. Somewhere in the middle, it's that you're my person, I want to be with you, even live together, but I can't legally marry you. And here's what I say about things like this. Life is lived in gray. The older you get, just like physically, the grayer you get. Your hair grays, life gets more gray. In other words, it's not black and white.
Okay. I see what you're saying, and I'm wondering something, which is I have heard you say a couple things that I'm not understanding, I guess, how they fit into this, which is one is that you have said that men need marriage, they need a public commitment. So are you talking about some sort of public commitment ceremony or something like that, but just it's not legalized? Is that what you mean?
I talk about that a lot, yes. I'm going to give you a hypothetical which will illustrate it. So say he actually got a divorce, but due to estate issues, money stuff, kids wanting their estate without a remarriage, all manner of other legal things, a man does not want to legally marry. And here's what I say about legal marriage, and this is absolutely how I feel. Make no mistake, marriage is two things. It is the covenant, the oath, the promise, the connection, the spiritual part of it, perhaps, between two people, man and woman, woman and woman, man and man. That's that side of it. The second part of it is a contract with whatever state you marry in. Make no mistake that that's what it is. A legal contract with that particular state, and if you're not in the United States, with your country, and maybe the municipality of your country or what have you. That's what it is. And you can have one side or the other or both. For example, he and his wife have the contract part of it, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He could have, perhaps, and she could, perhaps, the other part of it with significant others. If those significant others are okay with it and trust it. I'm not advocating for anyone to search for and look for someone in this situation because it makes it more complicated. But you fall in love with who you fall in love with, and it could work out. It could work out for you two to live together, having some kind of legal something or other so that you are somewhat secure. In other words, he's shown you great largesse, giving you $30,000 to pay off your debt.
Yes, he did. Yeah.
That says a lot.
Yeah, and he always has told me, he said, you know, I've been starting out a new business, and he's always said, if you ever need financial help with it, let me know. I haven't, just because he did give me also money for that when we first met towards the beginning. He gave me like $5,000, and I never asked him for more because I felt a little uncomfortable with it, but he's always said that.
So when I talk about doing something formal and public, in your case, because of the high profile, perhaps, of the wife, that may not be able to happen in any major way. But the two of you could do something with maybe just a few other people, something meaningful to you, something spiritual, and some kind of symbol, I think, is important. For example, if you both wore rings, on the outside, he's still married. That just looks like his wedding ring to everybody else. But you also wear a ring, and the two of you, you can have that symbol, or you choose not to because you just know what it is. Maybe it's something different. Maybe it's some other kind of symbol. But at his age and yours, there's a potential for something like that if you are okay with it.
Yeah, I mean, that's okay with me. I'm very much not tied to doing things, you know, as a tradition by the book. I guess I would just question, like, and it seems from what you're saying, that is enough for a man to feel a real commitment. So that would be one concern. And then I guess my other concern would be there would be legal issues that might need to be arranged because, like, for example, if I'm living with him and he were to die before me, which is very likely given our age difference and his wife is still alive, you know, if he has not made other arrangements, that would become her home, you know, or anything else that we would own, there would be questions about. So that's a concern, is property, you know, that would be between us. How would one manage that?
Yes. And again, it depends on your state. For example, that's how it used to be, that any property was going to be the property of both. If one party buys something, then it's automatically the property of the other. That's not true anymore in many places. As a single entity, you can, being married, you can go and buy a property and the deed is only in your name. Now, there are a lot of legal things here that, yes, you would need to have that security. That's what I'm talking about, something legal on the other side. Doesn't mean marriage and legal with the state, but something for your own safety. Because here's the thing, if you two want to buy a property together, then if he passed and you just have it in, you know, a legal contract, it's yours.
Yeah, that's true. Okay, that's true.
We have to think outside of the box here. And this is an aside, because there are other things that have to come into play in a much bigger way in terms of your trust. And what you do know about him is that he cheated in the marriage. You want to be able to trust.
Yeah, and the way I see that is something very fundamental changed in him. It's interesting. So I wanted to, actually at the beginning, we were talking about the timeline of our relationship. And while it's true, we met about 2.5 years ago. For 7 months, we weren't in contact. So we met, we had a first date that was just a coffee date. And then there was 7 months that we weren't in touch because I was moving and he told me to get back to him when I wanted to. And in that time, something very fundamental changed in him, because I know that before that, you know, he was a bit of what you would call like a playboy, like he was, you know, dating a lot of women and he never wanted to get serious with any of them. And during that time, he didn't date anyone. I think he had been, you know, previously, and then, you know, he wasn't dating anyone. He stayed alone a lot. He went for long walks, and he has a business, but it doesn't require very much of his time. Other people manage most of it. So he kind of went through a big change internally. And when we were together, I never saw any sign whatsoever. And I was definitely looking for it because of what he had told me. I never saw any sign whatsoever of him having any interest in dating anyone else. And even to the point where I said to him, because he wasn't clear on his commitment, I said, well, I'm going to keep dating other people, because I felt like if I didn't do that, I was going to feel very committed to him, even though he wasn't. I said, I'm going to keep dating other people. And I did. I went on dates. It was never more than one date with anyone, but I went on several dates during that time. And he said, I don't want to date anyone else. And he was very clear about that. He said, well, maybe you need to kind of, you know, figure out what you really want. You didn't date for a while. If you really need to do that, just don't tell me about it or whatever. But he said, I don't want to date anyone else. I see that there's deception in what he did with his wife and all that. I don't feel like I'm worried about if he decided, you know, now to commit to me, I'm not worried about that. If he takes the initiative and makes that decision, I do believe, knowing how he is and who he is, that he will not do that if he doesn't mean it. Whether that could change down the line, okay, that's possible, but that's possible even when you do legally marry someone.
Yes to all. I totally agree with you. He's likely on the downward slope of sowing his wild oats, so to speak. So, yes, as long as you continually inspire, I like hearing that you feel you can trust.
Yeah, and I have a question about that, continually inspiring. And it kind of ties in, you know, you talk about this concept of being a worthy opponent is the essence of inspiring. I mean, maybe there's more to it than that, but that is an important component of inspiring, right?
For sure. Yeah.
And then on the other hand, I do. So he has a very high regard for me. He's made that very clear, that he has a very high regard for who I am as a person. But on the other hand, given what we know of the history of the relationship, he has not seen me as a worthy opponent. So to me, that seems like a conflict. you know, if he has a high regard for me but doesn't see me as a worthy opponent, how do those two things coexist?
Okay, it's a very good question, and every woman needs to think about this. So it's easiest in an analogy. Take LeBron James and Steph Curry, because almost everyone knows who they are. I ask you, if LeBron James walks into some gym because he's traveling and there are some guys there just playing, they're going to be enthralled with him. And he says, hey, I want to join you. And of course, they're thrilled and they play together and LeBron wins. Does it mean much to him?
No, means nothing.
But one of the guys there, they just hit it off, and he tells him a story, and LeBron feels connected in some way. And this guy, through such hardship or whatever, he achieved in his life, and LeBron has great admiration for having done that. Maybe he even gives him a gift of $30,000. You see?
Yeah, okay. It's like wanting to have the friendship versus being a life partner.
Right. It doesn't inspire LeBron. LeBron needs to play at his level. Whatever the level is that the man feels he plays at, he needs to play at his level and then win, and then it means something. He's going to strive to win when he plays one-on-one with Draymond Green or Steph Curry or Giannis. He's going to strive to win. And then that win means much more to him than if he just plays some B-League player.
I get that. And then the other question I have about that is, once you're married, how does that work? Because, you know, if you're married or you're in a serious committed relationship, basically what you're telling me is, when you're not married, when you don't have a commitment, you basically have to leave in order to get the guy to commit. You have to give him that feeling that, you know, he knows you'll walk away. So is it the same in marriage, that you would walk away? You know, I mean, you can't have a marriage that you're constantly walking away from. So how does that work in marriage to keep the man inspired?
That's my sexy mother approach. You must continually be sexy mother. You must still inspire wonder. It's much more subtle, but it's there. And again, when he's made that commitment, by design, the man then thinks you're a worthy opponent if you've gotten it locked down by being a worthy opponent. You're already ahead of the game. Yeah, that's for a whole podcast in and of itself. But for your purposes, you have to do it under three pillars. One is your own self-concept and changing your programming of what love is. Second, you can use manifestation to keep you at a very high level of knowing that you're going to get this and you're going to get what you want. Third, you have to do the mechanics of men, which is what tangibly works and inspires him to come back and to lock it down. Those three things together work.
Wait, so it's the self-concept and the mechanics of men. What was the third one?
Manifestation, knowing it is. It helps and feeds the self-concept, but it is a bit separate. Doing two of the three, if it were only those, it would be absolutely self-concept and working on your programming, overriding the programming you got. And for each woman, that's a little different. Knowing that you are deserving, you are that worthy opponent, etc. And then following that is the mechanics of men and doing what we know works. If you had known that earlier on, things would be different now, correct?
Yes, absolutely.
So when they become different, you're going to get a different result. Do you have any doubt in your mind that he will be back and he will be contacting you again?
Probably. There might be a little bit, but I don't know. I don't see any scenario in which that he won't reach out to me again. I don't know when. It might be a while. That's one thing I'm not sure of, but he will. He'll reach out to me again at some point.
Yes, there is no question that he will. And I tell everyone I work with, I don't know when, but I can tell you that he will. And it's then that the whole thing starts to go faster.
Mm-hmm.
It's slowest at the beginning, and then it picks up speed.
Yeah, and my biggest concern is that I'm going to run into him in person because we do live really close.
I see.
I'm not going to know what to do. I almost thought I saw him today, but it wasn't him. But.
Okay, so that does present an issue, but depending on the particulars of the running into him, you employ the mechanics of men along with showing your higher self-worth and value, and that you've made a decision. So let's look at you running into him, because I think that'll be most useful to you, because that could happen any time, correct?
Yeah.
What scenario do you think is most likely?
I'll be walking either like on the trail that we walk on, or on the street, or in the store. Those are like probably the three places that I'd be most likely to run into him. And yeah.
So it would be a face-to-face interaction?
Yeah.
Okay, so if you can picture this, you're on the trail or at the store, and you turn, there he is right in front of you. His part first, your part, what's said?
Well, I'll tell you what happened. I did run into him a couple times when we like were not in contact otherwise, and one time it was kind of clear that he put himself in a position to run into me. And we did talk. I just said hello. I waved and said hello, and he said something about what he was doing, and that was that. We continued on our way in separate ways. But I feel like now, knowing what I know, I think it would be better not to say hello to him, right?
So what you outlined about avoiding it, yes, good. And even if he sees you avoiding it, great. Okay? So just know that.
Mm-hmm.
If it's unavoidable, you're walking on the trail one way, he's walking the opposite way, and it's just the two of you, it's absolutely unavoidable.
Well, can I just turn around and go the other way?
No, and I'll tell you why. That's very different in that, okay, you're coming up on the trail, he's coming down, you see each other.
Mm-hmm.
You're not that far from each other. The turning around and walking the other way shows what?
Rejection.
Yes, and it shows that you are not the worthy opponent.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Even willing to play the game.
Right, so...
It's interesting, but it makes sense. Yeah.
So when you show I'm going to face you, you have to show it in the facing I'm in the right.
Mm.
That's why I'm not turning around. You see?
Mm-hmm. Got it. Okay. That makes a lot of sense. So I would just walk by him and not say anything, which you're suggesting?
Well, would he stop and say hello to you?
I don't know. I think he may or he may not. I don't know.
Interesting.
I'll tell you why, because both scenarios happened. So one time I saw him, and this was when we were not in contact. So that one time I saw him, and I felt like he was really angry. I felt like he was really angry. He was getting in his car, and he had his dog with him, and I was walking on the sidewalk next to the car. And I saw that he saw me, and he kind of turned away and was, I don't know if he actually turned away, but I felt like he was very angry. He was not going to speak to me. And I stopped, and I said hello. And then when I did, he said hello. And then the very next day, I saw him walking where there's like a loop that we always walk, and he was walking the exact opposite direction at the time we would normally, you know, he knew I would be walking there. And then he said to me, I'm sorry about yesterday. I was in a hurry or something like that. So you see, I've seen both scenarios happen where he spoke to me and where he didn't speak.
Got it. So if he were to stop and say hello, wondering what I'm going to tell Blake she needs to say to Carlos to ramp up his wonder? In the rest of this episode, I give Blake the four words she needs to say to Carlos if she runs into him that will spark his interest once again. And because I want you to get the results you desire with your current or ex Mr. Right, I invite you to check out the 80/20 Wonder Club, an exclusive membership-only club of the Make Him Wonder podcast, where you'll get 200 ad-free episodes categorized by age and relationship status, plus all new episodes the moment they're formatted and ready to be aired, unfiltered coaching conversations like this one, with all my advice and principles to have you succeeding in your love life. There is also more. The 80-20 Wonder Club includes my Making Magic with Men Mindset Manual, a video series of mindset and mechanics practices for you to do at your own pace. It alone is valued at over $500 and is all yours as a member. Join monthly and cancel at any time, or save by committing to a 6 or 12 month membership. And not only will you save by committing to more, you'll receive a full coaching intensive experience where you'll be talking to me in a conversation like you just heard. You choose the date anytime during your 12-month membership, and I'll be answering all your questions on getting what you desire and deserve in your romantic life. Check it out at the8020wonder.club and join us, as that is the only way you'll be able to hear the energy to embody and the exact wording I give to Blake to use to start the process of getting back with Carlos. Don't miss out on how to make your man wonder in the right way to have the divine right results you desire and deserve. Go now to the8020wonder.club. That's the8020wonder.club. You and your love will be glad you did.